Greetings. Next up is our statement of purpose. Here at Awakening Together, we are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self. Within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols, we seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. And today I'm going to focus on the third core value, which is we accept one true self, which is presence or being, non-dual, without beginning or end, and absolutely changeless. We live this value by practicing letting go of the belief in the individual self as who we are. Amen to that, huh? Easier said than done, right? Every day, practice, practice. Okay, announcements. Coming up here is an invitation to join us in the sanctuary here at 8 p.m. tonight. There's a special, actually not a special, but it's our quarterly member meeting. Regina's going to share our quarter one financial report, talk about changes to the board of directors, and provide an update regarding nominees to the member board of trustees. She will also talk about the difference between the board of directors and the member board of trustees, for those that may not be sure about that. So in addition, members who are who attended retreats at the retreat house in May will be able to share from their experiences at the retreat house. And you can see those pictures. They're up on the website under retreat house pictures worth 1,000 words on the Awakening Together website menu bar. And these photos were just added this morning. And if I'm reading that now, then that means Regina added them just this morning. Second announcement regarding Regina's travel schedule. Regina has traveled internationally to offer retreats whenever she was invited to do so. Currently, she is now feeling guided to stop traveling and focus on retreats pretty much at our retreat house here in La Vida. And her last planned retreat outside of Colorado will be held coming up this next month in Portland. And I attended this event last year. It was a really great event. It's on the Lewis and Clark campus. So if you live on the West Coast and you like to see Regina in that part of the world, it is your opportunity. Retreat meals and lodging are available to those if you will travel to Portland for the retreat. And it's great food at that campus there. It's actually surprisingly good. It's a really high quality stuff. So it's an enjoyable place to stay and a beautiful environment. There's also a retreat-only package for those who live in the Portland area. So for full details, go to our website at awakening-together.org and click the Retreats and Classes menu to learn more about this retreat, which promises to focus on improving one's awakening skills. So third announcement, Awakening Together is offering retreats at its retreat house in July, August, October, and December of this year. Between retreats, there is plenty of time open for you to come and enjoy a self-guided retreat. You can spend a self-guided retreat in any way you choose, which is why it is called self-guided. You can spend time at the retreat house and away from work and family to go deeper into contemplation, meditation, journaling, inquiry, walking in nature, or just simply being. It is a lot cheaper and easier trip than to India, Israel, or Italy, and it could just be as deeply meaningful. If you would like to spend time with Regina, Jacqueline, or any of other local community here, Awakening Together members, when you come, just suggest contacting them, then we'll check on their availability. Regina is willing to spend a day alone with you when you come, if you coordinate with her to come at a time when she can meet you. To find out more about Regina or someone else's availability during your visit, simply use the Contact Us form under About on our website. Your email will be forwarded to the correct person who will get back to you regarding their availability. To learn about our organized retreats at the Retreat House, go to awakeningtogether.org and click Retreats and Classes, Retreats at the Retreat House. You'll find the retreats there that are offered by Regina and by Jacqueline on that webpage. Okay, next announcement. Mark your calendar. This is our upcoming guest satsang interview, and I'm really excited about this one. This will be next Sunday, June 16th at 7:30 Eastern Time. Regina will interview Dr. Jeffrey Martin, the author of The Finders. It's a scientific work that studied the enlightenment experience of thousands of subjects, over the last 10 years, Dr. Martin has conducted the largest international study on persistent non-symbolic experience, PNSE, they created an acronym for that, which includes the types of consciousness commonly known as enlightenment, non-duality, the peace that passeth understanding, or the unitive experience. This resulted in the first reliable, cross-cultural, and pan-tradition classification system for those types of experience. More recently, he has used this research to make systems available to help people obtain profound psychological benefits in a rapid, secular, reliable, and safe way. Discover what he learned at this month's guest satsang next Sunday at 7:30 Eastern Time. So I am really looking forward to that. Okay, number five. This is the Sunday discussion group that we're coming up on 23rd. I'll be hosting that. Now it's taken over from Jacqueline. Our discussion this week is, or this month, is going to be on the Adjustment Bureau, starring Matt Damon and Emily Blunt. And Dawn has been reading you some announcements about it. And I did create a play sheet, and I tested the link, Dawn, and it actually does work, the link, so people can get to the play sheet and print it out and really contemplate it and watch the movie with spirit. You know, there's some really good messages, I think, in that movie, and I'm kind of looking forward to hearing what everyone thinks. So we had a really lively group the last couple of times we've met, so join in, and love to have you be part of it. Okay, so let's start and join me in an opening prayer. Dear God, infinite being, love, Holy Spirit, I open my heart and my mind to you. I trust that the wisdom and guidance that comes is from the one true source, and I trust that as my only guide. I pray that I may observe and watch, but not act upon, my own thoughts, as I realize that they are a distraction and represent my will, which is an attempt to be separate from you. I realize that you are me, and that the path of purification and healing lies ahead, and that I'm willing to go through it until there is no lessons left to learn. Amen. All right, and so this week, I apologize to everyone for not getting out an announcement. This is very much stepping into trust. This is NTI Acts chapter 7, and Helen, Reverend Helen Avery, will be our reader today. I'm going to play a little song first here. This is Lauren Daigle, I Trust in You. Every single dream, I made each one down at your feet. Changes what you see. I've tried to win this war, I confess. My hands are weary, I need your rest. Mighty warrior, king of the fight. No matter what I face, you're by my side. Tomorrow brings. There's not a day ahead you have not seen. So in all things be my life and bread. I want what you want, Lord, and nothing less. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the
wish I could have walked through when you don't get the answers as I cry out to you. I will trust in you. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could have walked through when you don't get the answers as I cry out to you. I will trust in you.
Okay, there it was. Beautiful song. Okay, we'll move on now to Helen Avery, Reverend Helen. Turn the mic over to you. She'll be reading from NTI Acts chapter 7.
Thanks, Jay. And to say, as well as it's lovely to be here, and a technical thing, my computer's telling me I have an unstable connection and I'm plugged into the Ethernet. There's nothing I could do. So if for any reason I break up, please wave or type in the room, and maybe if someone else has NTI to hand, we might have to hand over. But hopefully it's all good. I can hear everyone else, so I'm not sure what's going on. So NTI Acts chapter 7. To trust in me is to give everything over to me. To not trust in me is to want to do things your way. And this you are free to do with my blessing. But to do things your way is to continue to stumble. To trust in me is to learn and remember your joy. I ask for trust because I reveal things to you one step at a time. I reveal things to you one step at a time because you have lessons to learn with each step. If I reveal the entire plan, you would want to advance to the end and you would miss the lessons that are necessary to getting there. Relax and give me your trust. Know that the end is joy. Anticipate the middle as a glorious adventure with joys and surprises of its own. The path can be easy if you give me your trust quickly and fully each step of the way. It can seem difficult if you choose to fight me, in brackets, haha. But know this, I am not fighting you, my child. I am holding you lovingly in my arms as you struggle with yourself. When you tire of struggling, I am there with you, ready to proceed. The path that you walk with me will have steps that are necessary to your learning. You may not understand each step as it seems to come upon you, but do not let the steps confuse you. If you become lost in your confusion, trying to solve things on your own, you are not learning your lesson and you cannot advance on the path. Although the form of each lesson may seem to change, the lesson is always the same. Let go of any fear that would guide you to take matters in your own hands. Lay aside the illusory will that you do not want. Trust in your worth and in me and ask for my will. For in my will, you will recognize your will. Through these lessons, the merging of what seems separate will occur into what clearly is and has always been one. Although you may wish that one lesson would suffice in order to accomplish the inevitable fully, it will probably take more, and it will most likely take many. This is because your mind is split and not fully ready to learn this lesson as yet. And so each lesson is a stepping stone to the final lesson, the lesson that will end all lessons. Enjoy your journey by realizing its purpose and by celebrating the progress that is made. During this time of learning, there will seem to be a battle in your mind. For when the battle is ended, the time for learning has ended too. The battle will seem to be a battle between two wills. A will that will at first seem to be yours, and a will that may seem unknown to you. At first, you may not even know what it is that you battle, but you know you are following your own thoughts, and the result is confusion and discontent. What you have not realized is that you battle joy by thinking in your own way and by laying down your own way. You find that joy awaits you. Along the path to joy, there comes a time that you seem no longer fully dedicated to your own way. This is because the desire for joy is calling you, and you begin to recognize your willingness to lay down your own will, which is also to lay down the battle. You will have a time of seeking, asking questions, learning, and letting things go. And then the answers will begin to be clear. This is a time of great celebration, for you have found your service and you are willing to follow it. Yet learning has not been accomplished, for the mind remains split, and the mind that is split will continue to cling to its idols and fight for its own way. Be aware of the hatred and anger that is within you, but be not afraid of it. There is a resistance within your mind that will seem to fight your every move, but if you remember this, it will make your journey much easier for you. This resistance within the mind that first comes up strong is actually weak. Any strength it seems to have is an ancient strength given to it a long time ago. It can use its strength to seem ferocious in the short term, but it needs your strength to remain ferocious longer. So when you see it, remember not to give it your strength. Through your remembrance, its ferociousness must die, and only peace will remain in its wake, and then the wake shall die too. Remember that all things are well in my sight. I am the Holy Spirit, the overseer of all things. I see to it that all things are good, and so they are. In what seems to be your times of trial and tribulation, cling tightly to me and do not let go. I will carry you through to your time of peace and celebration. From there you shall be carried to your joy. This is a promise that I make, and it is a promise you need not fear, for it is the promise of your Holy Spirit, whose will is the same as yours.
Thank you, Helen. That was a beautiful reading. You know, today I particularly did not feel guided to prepare even less than I have in the past. And I had a little fear about that come up. Even what I was planning to talk about, I was a little delayed. I'm supposed to have that by Thursday, and I didn't. But NTI Acts chapter 7, I think, is really perfect right now, because that's exactly what I was guided to look at and speak on and bring up, I'm sure, for myself and for all of us, as we all are going through the same process. And I'm very grateful for Regina for bringing this to us, this NTI and her years of scribing that she put into this. I'll always be grateful for that. Now, as I was listening to the song that we just played, Trust in You, and I was listening to the lyrics and just being with the voice as it was being sung, it was just a real feeling of trusting everything that is occurring in my life. And oftentimes there can be thoughts in my mind that come up about things I think should be different, or, you know, what did I do moving to La Vida spontaneously like that? You know, I shouldn't have done that. What did I do this for? And I had some doubts come up about that. You know, and I realized that, you know, in coming here, it was a listening to Spirit. It was a choice to turn my life over to God to a greater degree. So it's natural that the mind will want to try to fight that in any way it can, to try to find fault with others, to try to say this or that situation's not exactly the way to be. This hasn't turned out like I wanted it to be. My relationships with people haven't turned out like I wanted, or maybe they have turned out exactly like they should be. Because there's a lot here that I'm really grateful for that's going in a really amazing way. It's the ego stuff that's dying off in Jay McCormick. Right. And of course, that's the rebellion that's coming up in my mind. Right. And that's what NTI Acts chapter 7 is talking about. And I was listening to Lauren's voice and as she was singing, and, you know, there was a lyric in there about, you know, every step I've taken or I could take, you already know. Right. You know, as we deal with or as we work with in General Healing Year 3, really reflecting and focusing on everything we're experiencing here as part of a projected dream. It's part of the thought that NTI Acts chapter 7 refers to as ancient, which is the wish for something to be different than oneness, in which we still, this very moment, exist. And it's been so clear to me and revealed to me that everything we're experiencing here is a turning away. It's a turning away like this, like I'm looking at the camera now and I'm doing this. I've turned away. That's what I've realized everything we're experiencing here is. And so all I have to do is turn back like this. There, I've turned back. See, there was a demonstration. So every time I meditate, every time I let go of those ego thoughts, I'm turning back to the truth, turning back to spirit. I'm trusting. I'm giving everything over to the moment, to God, to Holy Spirit, to Ramana, to Jesus, to here and now. I say Jesus and Ramana because they're in our minds. They're inside with all of it, within truth. When I want to do things my own way, it's some thought about a situation that I think has to be a certain way in order for me to be happy, a certain way a person has to act in order for me to be happy. And the truth is, it's choice. Everything's a choice. Nothing anyone does can make me unhappy or upset. You know, we're given this message here in Acts 7 about how the Spirit blesses us no matter what we do. You know, it's all these atoms buzzing around. It's this projected reality. There's nothing to it. So there's nothing to be upset about. From that perspective, what this is an invitation to is for us to experience the joy, you know, and that we do stumble when we try to do it our own way. When we try to seek happiness, we try to follow the architect's plan for salvation that's in the Matrix, you know, that second movie where that older guy with a white beard talks about how he's the architect. You know, that's the ego's plan for our salvation, to try to keep us running around and stumbling, thinking we're going to be free by getting things that make us feel happy. But really, it's all just a trap. It's just a controlled system, just like the Matrix outlined it as being a giant controlled system that just keeps you going in circles, stumbling. So our joy comes from letting go of that. Letting go of our struggle and our stumble. And the whole one step at a time thing, you know, kind of pokes at the ego's need to know what's going to happen so it can be prepared. And it comes knocking on our door if you, you know, are a presenting minister, such as, you know, I've volunteered to be for a while now. It comes to, in the beginning, when I first started doing this, I would prepare very detailed preparations of what I'm going to say. And then over time, I learned to let go and prepare less and less and trust Spirit to give me what to say and to just keep walking and stepping. And sometimes right until the moment before I speak, it's not even given to me. At trusting, resting in that space right before it comes, knowing that it will come. That's in my own life the way I do this. But there's other ways in my life where I still see I resist doing that. You know, this could be, you know, the form, the relationships I have, they think they need to take, the way I think people need to act, the rules I set up in my head about the way I think people should act, the rules in my head about what I think I like and don't like about people and their qualities and all of that. You know, when we talk about seeing the face of Christ in our brother and looking beyond the mask, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about unpleasant situations that come up, or if someone or you or someone else expresses in an unpleasant manner, for you to look past that and to see the face of Christ in the brother, because that's what's turning over your will. This is what's being reflected to you. This is an invitation to go past that, to see past that, and to look at yourself and to also admit, not in shame or guilt, but in openness and willingness to surrender whatever's being reflected to you. You know, like we're told here in the chapter, there's lessons with each step, right? And if we knew the lessons in advance, we'd want to just skip to the end, go to the last page in the book and finish it, which means we'd miss the lessons and we'd still be in the same place of wanting our will to be prominent rather than letting God's will. You know, and when the rubber meets the road, it's all about, like it says here, you know, giving up wanting things to happen my way. You know, there's no other way around that. You're going to face, I've realized this, you're going to face the things that are unpleasant. They're not things that are turning out the way you want them to. They just aren't. And you have to face that and surrender it. You know, Oscar Wilde said, there's a really cool book. I was guided to look at this just this morning. This is a book called Spiritual Jokes, and it's not really jokes. It's more like a compilation of quotes. And Oscar Wilde wrote, "There are only two tragedies in life. One is not getting what you want. One is not getting what one wants, and the other is getting it." Oscar Wilde. There are only two tragedies in life. One is not getting what one wants, and the other is getting it. So the small self is going to see me not getting what I want as a tragedy, and seeing getting what I want as the success. But the spirit, I think, is just the opposite. When I don't get what I want, that's the success. And the tragedy is when I do get it, because I think I'm happy from the thing that I think I got for a while. It's part of the architect's plan for salvation. It's all just a controlled system of pain and letdown, and false hope. It's not going to get you to the joy. No, there's another quote. "My life may not be going the way as I planned it, but it is going exactly the way God planned it. Effortlessness, godliness in motion." Philip Arnold. Now, there's a lot I'm grateful for about my life right now, a lot of amazing things that I'm incredibly grateful for my life. And yet my mind still tries to find things that are wrong. Isn't that funny? You ever notice your mind doing that? Anyone's ever mind feel discontent in any way? Oh, really? Oh, wow. You notice your mind picking at little things, picking, something's not going the right way. Relax and give me your trust. Relax. So I'm saying this for myself. I'm saying this for anyone that can get something out of this, which I think we all can. You know, we can see it as an adventure instead. You know, I wonder what's going to happen. I love Regina's invitations to experiment and her little games that she would invite us into. You know, we can look at it as a fun thing. You know, like, wow, okay, this happened. All right. Well, isn't this an adventure? Wow. You know, like, just change your mind about it, you know. So I really appreciate what this is teaching me here. This is, I think, a very good message to remind us of that, right? To remind us of that. You know, each step of the way is another chapter in our story, right? And I don't know if when you were a kid you remember these books, I really liked him as a kid, and you could it had multiple choice endings. You could say, well, if you want to enter into this door, go to page 7, and then you go to page 7 and it tells you what happened. And then if you don't want to do that, go to page 25. You know, and it shows, you can choose all these different paths and all these different things turn out. What's funny is they're all written in the book anyway. So there's not really a surprise, but it seems to our mind like a surprise. To the mind that's separate, that's learning to turn around, to look at truth, and to lighten the little black and mark we're trying to put to block light. You know, our path can be easier when we do that. My path can be easier when I do that. Our path can be easier when we do that. The mind's path can be easier when we do that. You know, and we can experience that difficulty if we fight it, right? We don't go along with the plan. We say, this isn't the way I want it to be. I can't believe a feeling of disappointment comes into your being, right? Oh, darn it. You know, oh, shoot. Oh, man. You know, all of these things are disappointments. You know, I can measure my own progress with things like when I'm, I write computer code a lot as my occupation. And sometimes if I don't save and there's a glitch, it can wipe out a couple hours worth of my work. I talked to Helen about this one time. She says this happens to her a lot where she's writing, because she writes to, you know, in her occupation, I guess we both write very different things, but it gets wiped out. The computer will glitch or something will happen. And this beautiful writing that we wrote, right, gets wiped out. And, you know, that feeling of, you know, how am I ever going to recreate that? So, you know, all the way from that to, you know, the person you're with in your relationships not being or acting the way you want them to, so you can be happy, right? You know, each one of these things is a lesson. You know, just like the song was saying, you know, I am going to cooperate with this. I'm not going to fight this anymore. I'm not going to fight life. I'm going to cooperate with what lesson is coming to me. And they're all lessons in letting go. Learning, as we're taught in NTI, that word learning, right, isn't learning in sense. It's learning in learning the truth. Learning is actually unlearning, removing the blocks. You know, I guess we could, you know, reference like a sort of traditional Christian image about God the Father holding you in his arms, or you could think of awareness holding you in presence, okay? That could be a different way of thinking of it. Even when we're struggling, awareness holds us in presence. Awareness remembers. Awareness doesn't have a bad day. Awareness is always there, constant, consistent. You know, when Helen was talking about her unstable internet connection, I was thinking, gosh, I'm sure grateful and want to emphasize my stable connection and remembrance of spirit. You know, even though our internet connections may be unstable, I want my connection and remembrance of that truth to be stable and constant and not intermittent. But the truth is that it is still intermittent. You know, I stumble sometimes. And I think we all do. We get lost in confusion sometimes. We try to figure things out on our own. What helps me so much is the daily contemplation, the daily meditation. This makes it so much harder to become lost in confusion for me, and so much easier for me to remember within my day that I'm trying to figure out something on my own when I get lost in that space. And when I don't remember and I do forget, because I can't learn my lessons if I do that. I just can't. And again, awareness is holding me in presence the whole time. You know, whenever you're ready, brother, I'm right here whenever you're ready, brother. I'm right here. I'm right here. I've always been right here. So then I surrender and I let go. And I see the lesson and I can take the next step on my path. You know, that's really what the purpose of the retreat house is to take your next step with God. And I have to say that it's really served that purpose for me. The mini retreats I've been on with Regina and the small group of us most of the time have been really rewarding for me. And I did attend one, the Satsang and Sangha retreat, out of the several that have been here so far. But mostly it's been, for me, the mini retreats and just my own individual contemplations. But to take that next step with God, it's a wonderful place. And there is definitely a feeling of spirit in the retreat house. You know, there's kind of a sacred blessing feeling to the retreat house when you go in there. You can tell that it's, you know, the whole purpose of this is very focused and dedicated on awakening in spirit. And it does definitely give that juice for me when I'm there. You know, so we have fear that comes up, right? When we face that possibility of letting go of what we think we need to do to correct the situation. Well, if I don't do that, then this is going to happen, right? Or if I don't connect in a certain way with this person, then this is going to happen. Well, we don't really know that. That's trying to go into the future and figure out what's going to happen. And part of what Regina's been emphasizing a lot lately is about the importance of seizing the moment and having that sense of urgency with just being present and catching that and not going into the future. You know, I think I've been improving in that too, where I stop trying to go into the future because that's where you get in trouble, right? The present moment, the mind has such an adversarial relationship with the present moment. It's only going to want to run away from it or fight it or think it's bad or something, anything but just be present now, right? And it's that trust to give everything over to me, not just some things, everything. How the relationship will turn out between you and the other person is what has to be given over to God. There is no solution that your mind can come up with that will be helpful. It's just more part of fake architect's false hope plan that'll just keep you chasing your tail forever. It'll only be good for a while, and then it'll turn to garbage again because you're following the ego's plan that will never work. And, you know, as we're guided through this, that joining that occurs as I let go more and more and more is a real merging that happens. And, you know, it doesn't happen in just one lesson. It takes so many lessons for us to repeat over and over, sometimes hundreds of times, before we go, oh, that's why that happened. Oh, I get it now. I was fighting it. Just surrender. Just look without guilt. Remember, there is no original sin. This is Romans 2. It's only the thought that you sinned, not actual sin. The fig leaf and the shame and the realization that you're naked, eating of the fruit of the tree of good and evil, is having the belief and wish of something different, and therefore now you've got a choice between good and bad. There wasn't any such thing as bad before that. It was invented and created because you had as mind, I guess, consciousness had a wish for wonderment about something different. And that was it, an innocent wish, not original sin. It was original thought, maybe. But I think this referred to as ancient in NTI here. It has no real power. And it's a seeming two wills that we're battling. You know, it's not actually two wills. And so it's, I guess, a matter of retraining my brain and retraining my brain to such a degree that I don't have or want anything else. You know, stay present. God's will, not mine. Just keep practicing it throughout the day. And what I've noticed is my brain now more automatically wants to go back to the moment. it's a gradual shift, but it doesn't, I mean, I think it's going to take a while more of practice, but I don't think it's going to take forever, but it's happening. You know, and it's just, I'm curious now to see, you know, what's going to happen next. So it's a time of openness, a time of, you know, greater learning from a greater curiosity, more shifting to that surprise attitude rather than trying to control attitude. You know, and of course it's about being trusting the unknown. You can't trust the known. You have to trust the unknown from the mind's perspective. You know, when you wish for something different other than oneness, you eventually have to give up every little piece and part of that wish that's been retained in the mind and stuck in all these little corners and places of people and things and all these different desires you have. All this stuff has to be eventually addressed and turned over and surrendered. You know, if there's any feeling in any of us at any time of discontent or confusion, that means that we are trusting our own will. And the remedy for that, at that moment that you're realizing you're confused or discontent in any way, is to close your eyes and go within and pray to be shown what it is that is in your mind that's blocking right now. What is it that you're facing? What is it that you're afraid of in that moment? Breathe, go into it. Behind that pain is where the lie is taught and is believed. The root cause inquiry can happen just momentarily when you just go in and you listen. You can see it and surrender it and accept it. That's how forgiveness occurs, is when you see it and go, oh, I believe that a person has to act this and this way in order for them to be a friend. Oh, I see. And these are things maybe most people would agree with, but still they could stand in your way of happiness. Every thought you have potentially could stand in the way of your happiness and the moment, because they are invented thoughts. Even things that are socially agreed on by most people are thoughts that can bring you suffering. Because guess what? Not everyone's going to act in the way you want them to. Newsflash. You know, if you're over the age of 2 or 3, I think you realize that. You know, the terrible twos, when you just complain about everything, get all crabby and everything's bad. You know, I think at the age of 2, we realize, boy, things don't quite go the way we always want them to here. So if you're older than age 2, I think you've probably gotten that. So you understand the battle, right? The crying, the moaning. Now, as we get to adults, we don't cry and wail. We just complain, or we make someone else wrong, right? So all these things are what we need to look at, these battles, okay? We got to lay down these battles. Lay down the arms, the pitchforks, the torches, the swords, the weapons. You know, and as we start to weaken our sort of push to have our way, right? As that starts to weaken, as we start to go, maybe there is a better way here. Maybe I am going to start to really lay this down overall. That joy comes up, right? There's a surrender to joy. And we feel that call. Wait, what was that? What was that? Oh, yeah. That's right. The moment is calling me. God is calling me. Spirit is calling me to the moment to surrender. This happens when we want our own way. That's when the call can be remembered. That's when that desire for joy, like, do I either want this or do I want joy, right? And I got to give up my idea that I've held on to for so long if I want the joy. So I've got a choice. Spirit's like, okay, you want to be miserable? I still love you anyway. I'm here. I've always been here. But it's up to you if you want to learn the lesson and let it go. you know, and then be reborn in that new awareness. And I think it happens hundreds of little times over and over. I mean, yeah, there's like one big rebirth, but there's like hundreds of little rebirths where you're like, oh, wow, I'm realizing that that was a thought of limitation. These expectations, all these little expectations that are hidden about how people should act and how they should be and all this stuff. Only by encountering someone that doesn't act those ways do you get revealed and to be shown these beliefs that are in your mind that you've been with for so long. And that's why it's a gift. All the people that show up in your life that don't act the way you think they should act or do anything or whatever it is are such incredible gifts because they show us those things that we can let go and let down that are blocks to our joy. So let's all no longer be fully dedicated to getting our own way. Let's all do that. I know we're all doing that. I know everyone here is doing that in their own way at different places and different times in your own life and whatever city you're in your own relationships. And this, I feel called to this morning, just give a message to remind us of all of that and to also congratulate all of us too for even walking this path of doing this and going through our path of seeking and asking questions and letting go and purification. And gratitude for the answers getting clearer. You know, I mean, there's many times we've had also of celebration where, you know, we realize what we're supposed to do, you know, and we're like, yes, this is what I want to do. And in that, I recognize my will is the same as God's will. There's no difference. And that's where the joy can come in. Not in that all the time. A lot of the time I am, but not all the time. You know, these idols, thou shalt put no idols before me from the Bible and many of the other scriptures that talk about seeking a material result or an outcome. These are the things that we put in front of us to fight for our own way that get in our own way, right? It could be little things. The mind won't miss a trick. Little details, the mind will try to get in and form an attachment and get you upset in some way. If you think that's what, you know, is going to make you happy, if your plants grow correctly, or a garden tool breaks, or you cut yourself, or, you know, the neighbor doesn't act in the right way, or the person at work who's your coworker gets the promotion and you don't, or you do something inadvertently that upsets someone. You didn't mean to, but it horribly upsets the other person. Anything that happens like that can all be the same opportunities for us. You know, there's a lot of reference to the hatred and anger that's within us. And a lot of people are afraid to look at it. And that's why we're guided here in Acts chapter 7 to not be afraid of it, to remember looking at it. You know, to look at this and say, wow, I really got upset there. I was really angry. I had rage for this person. I had hatred. I had anger. It's okay to admit that. It's okay to actually look at that. You know, that, as we're reminded here, comes from that original thought of wanting something different. How powerful that thought was. Because we're all one mind, we're just appearing as these separate personalities, it's going to show up somehow in everybody's mind. I don't know if you've all noticed the similarity of that. You know, people get upset. You know, people get angry. I mean, it happens. Rage. You know, it's when we don't continue to feed it, when we just watch it initially and then let it die off, that it doesn't go further. It's our continued belief in it that keeps it alive, and we can actually use it as a way to sort of get our way, right? Intimidate people or be rageful or something like that. We can actually, we've all done this in different ways as, you know, and then of course, well, if we let that down, then I'm afraid of being hurt. You know, we all have that going on too. And this is all resistance, because when we let go of our attachment to our way and reside in love, we can't be hurt. We can't be. We can just be resting in that peace, right? We don't want to keep cooperating with it. We let it go. We don't keep feeding it, because you know, if you feed a tiger, that tiger is going to get stronger and keep attacking. Unless you're Buddha sitting by the Bodhi tree, and the tiger is just going to like hang out by you and you pet it and stuff like that. But, you know, it, typically speaking, you know, a ferocious tiger that you keep feeding it is just going to get stronger. And so in the sight, as we're reminded here in chapter 7, the sight of consciousness, the sight of awareness, everything is always in that space of acceptance and stillness and love. It never, awareness doesn't have bad days. It's something that can, it's always there within us. The truth doesn't have a bad day. The truth is consistent, constant. And all that remains when we peel away and dust away the chaff is peace. That's it. And so that's what I'm committed to. That's what I want. You know, and I know we all want that. We show up. We do our practices every day. We're in our relationships. We're in our jobs. We're, or if you're retired, some that are retired stay just as busy as they were when they weren't retired. I mean, busyness is kind of a mind thing, right? That's what Regina has mentioned as a defense against the truth, a defense against God, to put all this activity in our life to keep us busy and focused in the world rather than focused within. And assured that all things are well. Everything is as it should be right now. There is this Holy Spirit we can rely on and draw our strength from. That's us. Lay down our will, lay down our battle. You know, that's one of the things that stuck out to me as I was really contemplating chapter 7 again, is it's exactly when I lay down my struggle that I learn my lessons. That's it. That's the only way I can learn them. You know, because when my battle ends, that's when my learning ends too. And I realize that, you know, all throughout this path, we have to keep practicing until that final awakening occurs. The mind is going to try to somehow stay relevant and stay involved. Somehow. You know, let's lay down our weapons. Let's lay them down. You know, this is a powerful message here in NTI chapter 7. I know it was definitely what I was guided to see and contemplate. There's also something I want to read here from NTI that I opened to that's really beautiful. It's talking about the changeless dwelling place. And this, I think, is what's waiting for us as we surrender our will. There is a place in you where this whole world has been forgotten, where there is no memory of sin and of illusion lingering, and no illusion and of illusion lingers still. There is a place in you which time has left, and echoes of eternity are heard. There is a resting place so still, no sound except a hymn to heaven rises up to gladden God the Father and the Son, where both abide as they are remembered, and both where they are is heaven and is peace. Think not that you can change their dwelling place, for your identity abides in them, and where they are forever must you be. And that's just so reassuring to read that and to know that that's forever where we must be. You know, the appeal to surrender and lay down my will is growing in my mind. And I know that it has to be a real, genuine thing. Otherwise, we don't really do it. I won't really do it, right? You have to want it. You have to really want it. So I'm going to play a song by Red Rocks Worship, Not Afraid. So that is completing of the homily. And we'll just enter into contemplation now and reflect upon this message, and if you feel guided to donate too, we do exist off of your donations largely. Don can post that link. So here's the song.
Of God, the still inside the storm, the promise of the shore. I trust the power of your word, enough to seek your kingdom first, beyond the barren plains, beyond the ocean waves. When I
not be afraid to let go of that fear. When I think about letting go of things that we think we need to take into our own hands and deal with, let's let that fear go. So, opening up now to sharing. Anyone wants to take the mic and what's what came up for them or what insights do they want to add to what has been shared today? So, anyone else would like to take the mic? Okay, Reverend Gloria, and then Ruby.
Okay, good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, loud and clear. Go for it.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Reverend Jay, and thank you, Reverend Helen, for a very good gathering this morning. I just wanted to share one insight that I've been focusing on this week and that I think works really fits perfectly into what you were sharing this week, Jay. If there's just one word that I've been focusing on and looking at and becoming extremely very, very much aware of, and that word is homeostasis. Now, what homeostasis does, it basically what homeostasis is, I should say, is it's a return to your set point, right? All of the efforts that we ultimately make on this journey, the steps that we take to increase our awareness, to increase our attention towards awareness, all of those things are moving us away from a natural set point. So as nature would have it, there's this tendency to, for the pendulum, as Regina would say, to swing back towards balance, to bring us back to our set point. So, and that has been really relevant for me personally because of all of the changes that are underway in my life. There's this backlash to bring things back into what is considered, quote unquote, a normal balance, into the normal balance of the way things were. There's this tendency and this flow to want to shift back into what was, what is known, right? Because the movement that I'm making, and I'm sure everyone else is making too, is towards what's not known, to the unknown, to the uncertain. And so there's this constant effort and just being aware that there's this thing such as homeostasis has helped me out immensely. Becoming aware that there's this tendency for nature to bring things back into a normal balance, into what it considers normal and static and known. So I've been looking and working with this word homeostasis, as the more I become aware that there's this tendency to swing back to the normal, to swing back into what's known, then that gives me just a little bit of power, more power to consistently move towards the unknown, to consistently move into the unknown, and to be okay with not knowing, right? And to look at the backlash that comes up as, okay, that's par for the course. It's par for the course that you'll deal with this some level of backlash as you move away from what is standard for you. And I just wanted to share that, Jay. I really appreciate everything that you shared today. Again, it just reminded me of my own journey, of this journey of moving into the unknown and some of the backlash that comes up as we move in that direction. So I just wanted to share that, and thank you for that opportunity to share. And I'll let go of the mic.
Yeah, thank you for that comment, Reverend Gloria. I've also experienced backlash numerous times, as I'm sure I've seen literally everyone I know on the path go through what looks like backlash. The mind fights back when you start to let go of it. So I think this is a universal thing we all go through. I don't think this is just isolated to you or me. I think this is a thing that happens. The mind will try to pull you back when you really start letting go. And then what you're calling a backlash, which is, I think that's a great word for it. Ruby, your mic.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes.
I have my, you can hear me.
Yes.
Jay, that your message was actually beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And I'm just going to repeat some of the things that almost everything, everything was great. I'm just going to repeat some of the things that really resonated with me. And Gloria's going back into what I do, it's going back into the center. Let me just see. It goes back into the center. It goes back to the center. I go back to the center. And that's exactly what you were, I think, Phil, that she was talking about. But one of the things that you were saying is relax and give me your trust. When you repeated that, I just relaxed, because one of the things that I'm trying to do is my prayer is to increase my trust and my faith in life, in the flow, and to let go of the resistance. And then you said, I loved what you said. It said, awareness is holding you in presence. That was wonderful. Awareness is holding you in presence. And the other thing, it's laying down my struggle. What's happening for me is that everything now is, everything now has been in the moment, starting with my sister's illness, of her deteriorating every day so fast. And the one thing I learned from that is I was in the moment. Every single moment, I was in the moment. I was forced to be in the moment. Anything that we had planned just disappeared. Everything. It was just like the moment was taking us. And so that has continued here. And it's the big things, like right now, we're renting this house. I wanted to buy a house. And so it's kind of like the flow of life says, rent this house, don't buy a house. So we're renting this house. And it's totally what my ego or my sense wants, to feel comfortable. First time in years that I've rented a house. And it's kind of like laying down your struggle, like you were saying. But the other thing I learned from all this, being in the moment when things are just moving so fast, is then what happens? You're saying, oh, I'm in the moment. I'm just flow. I'm going with the flow of life. I'm not resisting. But what happens is the little things I notice from listening to your lesson, the little things are what I'm resisting now. So it's just being aware of where your resistance is, and the little things is where I'm resisting. I'm in the flow with the big things. I'm saying, oh God, I'm so in the flow. But the little things, like you said something, oh, you could have said a little different. The little things. So you have to be totally, for me, in the flow and notice the little things, because they can keep you in the place that you don't want to be. So thank you very much, Jay, for this this lesson. It's beautiful.
That's awesome, Ruby. Thanks for your surrender about the renting versus buying. I had to buy. My surrender was to buy a house. it never know what form it takes to in each person. And thank you, Reverend Gloria, for bringing us that word about returning to equilibrium. That was beautiful. We're out of time now, so we don't really have time for the closing song, but I am very grateful for everyone being here and sharing this hour and 15 minutes with me. And thank you, Reverend Helen, for being my last minute reader on the spot and turning it back to you, Dawn.